Shouldn't you be at your party?
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City.
Heading over in 5. Just gonna wrap up here real quick.
Nodding from the doorway, listening to Lenny's stall, was Harry, one of the janitors.
Soaking in the nostalgia?
Lenny smiled and then pointed at Harry, agreeing.
You know me too well, Harry.
Stop by after you're done. Have a beer with me.
Copy that, Harry told him.
Lenny kept smiling as he listened to the comforting sound of Harry pushing the big waste basket over the carpet. A soothing sound he associated with many late nights in the office. In these halls, in this building, as a writer to what most people consider the greatest comedy institution in entertainment history, Saturday Night Live. Lenny was, in fact, stalling. He had been here for nearly 18 years. And while he felt good about calling it a night once and for all, he couldn't help but get a little emotional, knowing this is the last time he would walk out of these hallowed halls. There was nothing to take with him. Not really. It was a shared office space that saw different writers come and go. Some went on to bigger and better, most went on to smaller and worse. But Lenny knew in his gut that it would probably not get better than this. He also knew his fastball was slowing down, so better to bow out gracefully than faceplant and overstay your welcome. Before heading on over to their favorite local dive bar that was used only for goodbye parties, Lenny was going to do one final lap around Studio 8H, where Saturday Night Live had been broadcast for his entire life. One thing Lenny had never done in his 18 years? Go through the host door. If you've seen SNL, you know how it works. Every host enters through the door on top of the stage. Then they come out and do their monologue and introduce the show. Lenny, out of superstition, had avoided this. He had achieved his dream, and for some reason he had convinced himself that if he ever walked through the host door, his dream would end. Tonight, it was time to finally do it, walk on through. It was so quiet. Everyone had either gone home or was waiting for him along with the other retirees at the local dive. Took another deep breath and stepped through onto the stage. As soon as he walked through, the spotlight hit him. Standing there on the stage was Bill Murray. In front of a live studio audience, everyone, including Bill, turned to look at Lenny. Bill took the perfect length of a beat and said,
"Ladies and gentlemen, the real star of Saturday Night Live, a writer whose name I can't remember, take a bow, you."
It was 1:30 in the morning, and Bill Murray? He looked young. The makeup was immaculate. As soon as Bill touched Lenny's hand,
"Shouldn't you be at your party?"
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City. Lenny did a quick 180 to gather his bearings, and then he laughed at himself. The nature of the dream felt so real. There was nothing to decode about that one. Lenny was filled with anxiety.
"Heading over in 5. Just gonna wrap up here real quick. Soaking in the nostalgia?"
Lenny turned to Harry. That sounded familiar. Very familiar.
"Yeah. You know me too well, Harry."
The deja vu was intense. It had been a long week. Long month. Long year. He stood up to make sure his legs worked as Harry stood nearby.
"Maybe I'll stop by and buy you a goodbye beer?"
"Yeah," Lenny told him.
"That'd be great." "Copy that," Harry told him.
Larry tried to shake it off as he chugged what remained of his water before shutting off his office lights and then heading down the hall. The hallowed halls of Studio 8H. He felt a bit more apprehensive this time. How could he not? And he had told someone recently that he rarely remembers his dreams. He's very proud of this because to Lenny, nobody knows what they mean, so why bother? It was so quiet. Everyone had either gone home or was waiting for him, along with the other retirees, at the local dive. Lenny put his hand on the doorknob, took another deep breath, and stepped through onto the stage. As soon as he walked through, the spotlight hit him again. Standing there on stage, Adam Sandler holding a guitar. Everyone, including Adam, turned to look at Lenny. Adam immediately started laughing and said,
"Lenny!" Ladies and gentlemen, one of our writers, Lenny Murphy. Give it up to the Len Dog, everybody.
The crowd began to applaud Lenny as he clutched his chest with his right hand and clutched the nearby railing with his left hand. Adam Sandler took a couple steps backwards and said,
Lenny, how about you and me turn this ditty into a duet? How's that sound, buddy?"
Lenny, frozen with fear and confusion, just nodded robotically as Adam laughed and told the audience,
"Lenny Murphy, over the stage. Hey, give it up again for my buddy Lenny."
They started singing together.
"Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah Eve, the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have a crazy night."
The crowd was loving it. Lenny was loving it. Sandler was cracking up.
"And a boy, Lenny!"
As soon as Adam Sandler smacked Lenny's shoulder,
"Shouldn't you be at your party?"
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City. Lenny shot up from his chair and did a rapid 360. Harry was nervous, asking him,
"You okay, Lenny?
Did someone spike my drink, Harry?"
"Spike your drink?"
"Yeah, you can tell me, Harry. I just want to know." Harry scratched his head and said,
"Not that I know of."
"Why? Did you want shrooms?"
"No!"
Lenny shouted. "God, no! I just had two of the most... I think I'm...
"You sure you're okay, Lenny?"
"No, Harry. Not okay. Definitely not okay."
"All right,"
Harry told him.
"Maybe I'll stop by and..."
Lenny cut him off with, "Buy me a goodbye beer?"
"Yeah,"
Harry said with a smile before pushing the large wastebasket down the hall. This was beyond deja vu. This was... What the hell was this? Someone must have spiked his drink. Or shroomed his pizza. Maybe both. It's probably Chris Kattan. Every step in and around the office hallway leading up toward the stage was met with extreme caution and trepidation. It happened twice already. Surely it would happen again. But how was this possible? Where the hell had Chris Kattan gotten these shrooms? He grabbed the doorknob leading to the stage, ready for him to be transported for a third time. Who would be next when he walked through that door? John Lovitz. The crowd, the band, everyone, including John Lovitz, stopped what they were doing to turn around and stare at Lenny as he stood there in the stage doorway.
"Well, well, well. If it isn't my old colleague, Lenny Murphy." "Yeah, me and Lenny, we go way back. Old college chums we are. Yeah, that's right. Me and Lenny. And yet only one of us can host."
John Lovitz turned back toward Lenny and exclaimed,
"Jealous?"
Lovitz gave a brief clap and asked Lorne Michaels to send security. "Drag this decrepit man known as a writer him back to the dungeon from which he writes." The security guard in this moment turned out to be Randy Quaid, who hopped onto the stage and reached out for Lenny. As soon as Randy touched Lenny's hand,
"Shouldn't you be at your party?"
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out the window that overlooked New York City. Lenny shot up from his chair and did a rapid 360. Harry was nervous, asking him, "You okay, Lenny? Was Chris Kattan in my office, Harry?"
"Kattan?"
Harry asked. "I think Kattan spiked my drink. And who the hell knows what else?" Lenny smelled his water bottle, then tossed it across the room into the wall. And then they both realized it was Harry who would have to clean in here. Larry took a beat and said,
"I'll clean that up."
"All right,"
Harry told him.
"Maybe I'll stop by and..."
Lenny cut him off with,
"Buy me a goodbye beer?"
"I know, Harry. The problem is I'm stuck in some sort of time loop, so you buying me a beer is going to get a little delayed."
time loop, Harry said. Every time I walk through the stage door, I transport to one of my favorite moments in the history of the show.
Wow, Harry said before adding, that sounds kind of awesome.
Awesome, Lenny said. It's not awesome. It's... Lenny's momentum of panic stopped dead in his track as Harry's words started to penetrate his mind. His whole body began to decompress as he realized what it was.
Actually, Lenny told him, it is kind of awesome. Who were the hosts? When you went back in time?
Bill Murray, Adam Sandler, John Lovitz?
Lovitz? Harry asked, surprised.
Yeah, that's one thing that still doesn't make sense.
Who do you think will be the next host?
Oh my God, Chris Farley.
Hey, it's my old buddy, Lenny Murphy. Zippity-doo-dah-day! Great, grand, terrific!
The crowd began to clap as Lenny took a couple steps forward. Whatever this was, wherever he was, even if it wasn't real, Lenny told Farley,
Chris, you are the funniest people to have ever lived. Nobody made me laugh harder than you. Nobody. Do you remember that time you and Adam Sandler did the Schmitz Gay beer commercial ad? That was awesome.
Chris took a little beat and then said,
Lenny, I wish you'd just shut your big yapper.
Chris continued as if this was all planned.
You see, folks, this is what happens when a writer... It's too much power. They try to steal my thunder. Now, there's only one thing to do. Show the writer who this stage belongs to.
Chris got into a wrestling stance. He began to circle Lenny as the crowd continued to laugh. When Chris finally lunged at Lenny, he missed, fell off the stage, and landed on a breakaway table that put the crowd into hysterics. After a couple moments, Chris reemerged, his face covered in fake blood. Looked into the camera and said,
we got a great show tonight. The Cranberries are here, so stick around and we'll be right back.
Chris Farley passed out again off camera. Lenny stood there and screamed, yeah! When the cameras turned off, a hand reached out toward Lenny from off stage. He backed up with his hands splayed out on his sides. Standing there was Marcy Klein, longtime producer and rumor successor to Lorne Michaels, who left the show in 2013.
Lenny, Marcy said, get off the stage, sweetheart.
Lenny did just that as he avoided her touch. As well as any contact with anyone else, he walked toward the backstage entrance as if he were scouting for landmines. There were too many people doing too many things for anyone to notice how bizarrely he was walking. This was the nature of live television for a comedy institution. You have no idea how much work goes into it unless you can witness it firsthand. Lenny had seen the show countless times, up close and personal, but never like this. He slithered around and through all the stagehands and production designers as they sprinted to various marks, adjusting for the next sketch.
Come find me after the show.
That voice, Lenny thought. It was Lorne.
I'm having dinner with the Pauls. You should come.
Lorne had never invited him to dinner. The Pauls? Plural? Who was that? Paul Simon? Paul McCartney? Paul Newman? What year was this dream taking place? Oh my God, Lenny thought. Whenever this was, who cares? It's heaven. Someone squeezed his shoulder.
Shouldn't you be at your party?
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City.
Gotta run, Harry. I'll buy you a beer if I ever escape this paradox.
Lenny sprinted past a perplexed Harry, who stood in his doorway and watched Lenny run down the hall. Lenny burst through the stage door.
Chevy turned and without missing a beat said, thank you very little. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, tell him your name, fella.
Before Lenny could answer, Chevy cut him off and said,
nobody cares. We had a great show tonight. Nirvana is here.
Nirvana? Lenny shouted. The crowd laughed. Even Chevy smirked as he countered with,
this is why we don't let the writers out of their cages, folks. He's got a face for radio, doesn't he? Stick around. We'll be right back. More Lenny.
The cameras turned off and Chevy walked off stage toward the back hallway entrance. Lenny put his head into a swivel as he walked past everyone.
Look at the new guy. Put an old douchebag in his place. Well done, old new guy.
Dana Carvey, standing next to Lenny, complimenting him for upstaging Chevy Chase, but while doing a Dennis Miller impression. Lenny decided to play along.
Oh, wow, Dennis Miller, I'm a big fan.
We never get to meet. I'm Lenny Murphy.
Nice to meet you, kid. I haven't seen that much lack of charisma since Don DeLuise ordered a salad.
Lenny ate it up. He ate it all up. What did he do to deserve this? He told Dana Carvey how brilliant he was as a stage performer and how much influence he had on Lenny's approach to writing sketches for other people.
Mr. Carvey, easy on the formalities, kid. You're making me feel old. Not gonna do it. Keep the talent happy. That's gotta keep. That's the key. That's the key. Gotta keep them in their Hollywood bubble.
A hand reached out for Lenny, and he spun around behind Dana Carvey, using him as a shield. Standing there was Marcy Klein, who was bringing Dana to another area, the stage. He was dressed as church lady. Lenny backed himself into the wall, trying to stay alert for anyone who would dare to touch him and end this blissful fantasy.
Hey, funny stuff out there, man.
Holy Canadian crap, Norm. Norm MacDonald. Another one of Lenny's heroes that he had never had the chance to meet. Not only was Norm talking to Lenny, but Norm was complimenting Lenny. Norm, I'm a huge, huge fan, man. Huge fan.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, don't let Chevy give you any gruff. You know, sometimes he can be a bit of a, what's the word, enormous prick.
Lenny laughed as Marcy Klein walked towards Norm and whisked him away to get ready for a nearby sketch. Lenny was trying to soak it all in while remaining alert. He didn't want to start from scratch again. He wanted to explore. Lenny turned down the hallway, and the first thing he saw when he rounded the corner was Dan Aykroyd running right towards him. Son of a...
You're missing your party.
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City.
What'd you say, Harry?
Harry tapped his watch.
Your party. You're gonna miss it, Lenny.
Harry was right. Lenny checked his phone. Countless missed texts and voicemails from coworkers and friends, all asking where he was.
Harry, my dear, all of your drinks are on me tonight.
Lenny dashed right past Harry through the hallowed halls of Studio 8H. Lenny felt more alive than he ever had before. Kicked right through the host door. Only this time, empty. No crowd. No band. The only person on stage was Phil Hartman. Phil looked up and saw Lenny.
Hey, Len, Phil said. I'm reading your new Sinatra sketch. This is good work, Len. Good work.
Lenny looked around, waiting for someone else to pop out. But they didn't. Phil just kept reading his sketch as Lenny walked over and sat nearby.
Phil Hartman, you are a legend, a true legend.
Phil didn't take his eyes off the script. He just smiled and kept making little notes.
Thanks, Len. You mind if I make some notes? I want to try something with this second-to-last line. Is that okay? If it doesn't work, we can cut it.
Of course, do whatever you want. Please, this is an honor. Just... Lenny looked around. The studio felt so still.
Hey, Len, can I ask you something?
Of course, Phil. Anything, please. For the first time, Phil looked at Lenny and asked, how am I doing?
Amazing, Lenny said. You are the gold standard for sketch performers. An inspiration, truly. No, Phil told him. I mean, how am I doing out there?
Lenny scratched the back of his head and asked what he meant.
Well, it's a darndest thing, Len. You know, every day when I wake up, I'm on this stage, staring at the script. So I was just wondering, how am I doing out there?
Lenny didn't know how to answer that. Phil kept staring at him.
Lenny?
Lenny turned. It was Chris Farley. Hey, Chris, I was hoping you'd come back.
Yeah, hey, can I ask you something?
Of course, Chris, ask me anything.
Cool, thanks, Lenny. I was just wondering, am I okay out there? Like, because every day when I wake up, I'm here, but there's no audience or anything. No band, it's just like me, Phil, Norm.
They both looked over to see Norm sitting in the front row alone smoking a cigarette.
So that's why I was, wondering, am I okay? I know some of my last couple movies didn't do great. So is that why it's gone so quiet here?
Lenny slunk down into the stage, sitting down. Chris could barely make eye contact.
Oh no, Chris, you're the king, man. I think people...
There was a soft harmonica nearby. Lenny turned to look in the corner of the studio. Belushi.
It's okay, Lenny. He can handle it. Tell him. Tell Phil while you're at it. Heck, might as well tell old Normie, too. That's why you come, isn't it? To tell us that the show's over?
Lenny stood up. John Belushi. Oh, my God, sir. You have no idea how much you guys mean to me. Without the four of you, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know who I'd be. John kept softly playing with his harmonica, making music out of it.
It's funny, Lenny. We wake up every day. Yeah, this big, beautiful stage, but there's nowhere to play for anyone. And that quiet, Lenny. As for people who want to play all day, there's nothing louder than silence.
The overhead lights shut off, but four spotlights remained. One on each of the four people in the room, excluding Lenny. He looked around and turned back to Belushi, asking him,
"Is that it? Is it over?"
Belushi placed his harmonica onto the ground and smiled.
"You say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is."
The lights above John Belushi went out. Lenny turned to Chris Farley.
"Fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy in a little coat."
The light above Chris Farley went out. Lenny turned to Phil Hartman.
"Mr. Simpson, don't you worry. I watched Matlock at a bar last night. The sound wasn't on, but I think I got the gist of it."
The light above Phil Hartman went out. Lenny turned to Norm MacDonald.
"As long as the red dice are in the air, the gambler has hope. And hope is a wonderful thing to be addicted to."
The light above Norm MacDonald went out. Lenny was now alone on stage in the dark.
"You missed your party."
Sitting at his desk alone was Lenny, staring out a window that overlooked New York City.
"If you leave now, you might be able to grab last call. You know they'll keep it open late for you."
"Harry," Lenny said, trailing off, eyes focused on the windows.
"Yeah, Len?"
"I've been sitting here, staring out this window, watching the night slowly turn into day, and..." Once again, Harry waited for a conclusion that never came. He stepped into the office just a tad to get a better read on Lenny before asking,
"And what, Len?"
Lenny turned around and told him, "It was just so quiet."